Today on the podcast, I'm going to be bringing on Elizabeth Parsons from @purelyparsons over on Instagram. She is a mother of five. She had surprise twins at home, which that is a story all in itself. We're going to talk about natural living and getting started with it. Where should you begin? What resources? Where did we begin? We're just going to chat about that because we're both over a decade into our journey with natural living. And I know a lot of you ask me, well, where would you even start? This is all very overwhelming. I need to figure out where to even begin. So we're going to dive into all of that. My name is Lisa, mother of seven and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. All right, I'm popping in after doing a bit of editing to apologize for the last 12 minutes of this episode. We actually switched the first part of this year to a new recording software for having guests, and we had to work out some technical issues. It's all fixed now, so I apologize that this episode is going to suffer from that, but going forward, you can expect a lot better audio. So thanks for hanging with me. For those of you who don't know Elizabeth, which you're in sort of the same niche that I'm in, so a lot of people probably already know you, and plus I've mentioned you on my podcast a couple times, like you have just pointed out. So Elizabeth and I were chatting before, whenever I had Abby on about a year ago, and Miss for Mama, I had her on recently, but when she was on over a year ago, I was talking about this woman that had surprise twin home birth and how shocked I was about this. Now it turns out later on, Abby invites Elizabeth and myself and several other ladies to her house, and so I actually met her. But before then, she was just the lady that gave birth to twins that she didn't know were twins. So she knew she was pregnant, but she didn't know that there was two of them in there. And then I also talked about you on my home birth story, because whenever I was in labor, I was listening to home birth stories. And I was listening to yours that day that I had him. And then also you were talking about your birth affirmations. And so I was using those during my labor with Theodore.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. So it was super helpful. I was reading through them. Like, they were literally on my laptop when it was probably like an hour before I had him. So
I love that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
So we'll leave that down in the show notes. But Elizabeth is a mom of five, two of which are twins. She is over on Instagram as @purelyparsons. She does natural things. So lots of essential oils, lots of education on, like, whenever your kid has a cough or just any particular thing, you go to her page. She has a highlight on it on Instagram, helping you to know, you know, what you should use. And that's where you're the most active, correct? Over on Instagram, that's where you share most things.
Yeah. Yep. That's where I am for the most part. I have a website, but I'm completely revamping that right now. So yeah, Instagram is the main thing.
Yeah. That's where you share your tips. That's where people can really figure out what you're about and also get all of your awesome tips. I was looking through your page and you have something for just about everything that people constantly say, like, what do you do when this happens? I'm just going to say, go to Elizabeth.
I know. I feel like a broken record for, you know, because when you're on Instagram, it's like you're getting new followers and stuff. And so people who have followed you for years know that you have a highlight on strep throat from like 2 years ago, but like new people, they don't know that. And so I kind of feel like a broken record sometimes when I'm like, oh, look at my highlights. But it's true. Go look at my highlights.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all there. So first question on the list of questions for you is, what got you started into some of the things that you know and digging and learning, and what was the catalyst for that?
I think when I got pregnant with my first child, you know, when before you have kids, it's like you do things that you kind of just do things that you know and things that are comfortable. But then when you are bringing a life into the world, you're kind of like, well, wait a minute. Like, it's just that natural motherly instinct, I think, that makes you want to like research everything. That kind of correlated with a health event in my husband's life where he got really, really, really sick. He has autoimmune disease. And this was like back in like 2011 or 12 before people even really knew what that meant. Now it's like everybody knows what it means, but back then there wasn't a lot of information on it, and people didn't even really know what that meant when you said that your husband had an autoimmune disease. And so his kind of like health issues and then the subsequent birth of my daughter just caused me to literally just start researching everything and changing a lot of the things that we were doing. So that was kind of like the catalyst for this whole thing. And it's been, you know, now we're almost a decade later journey. So,
yeah, well, that's what I wanted to talk about more than anything. Whenever I was first writing the idea for this down, I want somebody who's sort of at the same place that I am with their journey, where, you know, you've been at this for a while, but you also weren't completely raised that way. Like most of the way that you were raised maybe wasn't, it was more conventional. I think most of us were,
yeah,
by like the age that we're in, and also access that people had to certain things. Like it was out there, but it wasn't out there as available as it is right now. And just speaking to that for people, because a lot of people want to know where to even begin. They see that they want to start, but they don't even know what things should you even change first.
Yeah, it can be really overwhelming and honestly really discouraging if you try and just completely overhaul your life. It's not sustainable. It's not going to work. So I recommend just doing the easy things first and taking it one at a time. It doesn't even have to be a whole thing. Like you don't have to completely overhaul your kitchen. Just do one thing in your kitchen that is better than what you have now. And you don't have to like go through your house and completely throw away everything you have. Just as one thing gets used up, replace it with something that's a little less toxic or not as harmful to your health. So the first thing, like if you've got like Febreze or Glade plugins, or you're using products like that, just throw them away. Candles, all of these things that we think and that we like associate with like, oh, that smells good, really are toxic to our health. And now when I'm like around that stuff, I get like physical reactions to it because I'm so removed from it that when I'm around it, my body is like, what is this? It's like being assaulted. So any like synthetic fragrances in, you know, your laundry or sprays or candles or anything like that, that would be like the first thing that I would replace. And those are so, so easy and often a lot cheaper than your conventional cleaning sprays. So cleaning stuff is a really easy swap. Because you can make a cleaning solution out of vinegar and lemon. Like just pour some vinegar, white vinegar, in a mason jar. And the next time you use a lemon, throw the rind in there and leave it for a week. And now you have a lemon all-purpose spray that you can use on your counters. And especially when you have little kids, and you know this, Lisa, like they are all over everything and like putting their hands in everything and putting their hands in their mouth and like, I don't want them like ingesting 409 and like Barkeeper's Friend. Like those ingredients are awful and carcinogenic. And we don't want this stuff being inhaled by our children who are so vulnerable and so little. And there was an instance when my oldest was a toddler and she grabbed my cleaning spray and like sprayed it in her eye. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad that was just vinegar. Like, I'm sure it didn't feel great, but like, I don't have to call poison control over some vinegar, you know? And so, cleaning supplies are a huge thing to replace that is honestly pretty easy. I can give you like a replacement for pretty much every room in your house that is not necessarily more expensive, but that's gonna be a lot better for your health. And, you know, like I said, just take it room by room, but not all at once. When we try and do all these things overnight, it gets really overwhelming and then we just give up. So even if you just start, I mean, it's January, like everybody, you know, has resolutions in January. So just start in January. And I say like, try and replace one thing a month, like just one thing a month. That seems super reasonable. And then by December, look back and see like how many things you've replaced and like removed toxins, or even sometimes it's adding things like a water filter. Clean water is super important to our health. And I don't think people realize how many toxins are in our just like typical water system. And you can get your water tested. Adding a water filter can make a huge difference in your health. Adding an air purifier can make a really big difference in your health. So sometimes it's adding things, but a lot of times it's taking things away.
Well, and those suggestions, especially the last two, are great because they really don't require a lifestyle change in any way whatsoever. They don't require any new learning. It just is, you know, changing the air you breathe and the water you drink, which you already do those things. And so those are pretty simple swaps. Well, I guess let's start here. What books did you read? Like when you were first starting to think about this, because I'm thinking back to 13, 14 years ago when this started becoming interesting to me. And there were a few books that got me started, that got the ball rolling, that led to one thing led to another. And then I have this whole basis of beliefs now that came from books I read long ago. And a lot of times people will say, well, why do you do this? And I'm like, I honestly researched that so long ago that now it's just part of what I do. I don't even remember. I know it's good. I know it's better. But at this point,
I know why.
Yeah, I can't really explain it anymore. Just go read this book.
Yeah, that's so true. I would be interested to know like what books you started out with. I can't really even remember if I started out with books. I mean, I've read books over the years. But honestly, a lot of my initial research was online. I would like look things up and like read blogs and read, do research on like Weston A. Price is a huge part of my research, or not my research, but a catalyst for my learning, because they have a lot of people come on. They have a podcast and they have a lot of people come on there that are super knowledgeable and super, informative. And so that will kind of like spark my interest, and they'll recommend a resource and I'll go research that. And, the first thing that I remember researching was childbirth, and I could talk childbirth all day long, but Ina Mae Gaskin's, childbirth book was a really big thing. And then also Redeeming Childbirth from Angie Tolpin. So those two books I do remember reading about birth specifically. And another person that I don't even know if she's like active anymore. I think she is on Instagram, but do you know who Mama Natural is?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. So long before I had a blog, long before I had a YouTube channel, I was watching Genevieve.
Yes. I used to watch her YouTube videos.
Same. Like, long before I even thought about starting a YouTube, I was watching her.
Yes, me too. So I would like sit and like binge watch her videos and read.
Loved
like,
them.
Anytime I needed like a recipe for something or a more natural alternative something, I would type in, like I would Google search Mama Natural,
whatever
I was looking for. Yeah. And she usually had it. Like her website is super, super user friendly.
Yes.
And, packed full of resources. So she was a really big part of my early journey, and I still love her, her website and stuff. So, is she still doing YouTube?
No, very rarely. I check it every once in a while, because I'm like, oh, I wonder if she's back. And then she doesn't, because I think she's so focused on her childbirth. She has childbirth courses. She has a weekly natural guide to pregnancy. And so I should get her on the podcast. I hadn't thought about that. I don't know if I could or not, but
I know she moved. They lived in Chicago.
Yeah, they moved down to Florida. I know all about it.
Yeah. Okay. We can geek out over her.
We could. Yeah. Yep. Her. And then I also, there's several older bloggers that no longer blog anymore that got me started a little bit. And then also Wellness Mama. She's still huge, obviously.
Wellness Mama, Mommy Potamus.
Yep, Mommy Potamus. Yep. Those are all the ones I read long before I even thought about starting a blog. I was thinking, no, mine started with books because the, you know, internet wasn't as big whenever I was first a young mom. But there was a couple of books, but there also were bloggers. Now that you're mentioning it, there were lots of those. But the first book that I read was, it was a book called What the Bible Says About Natural Living. Some of the things that he wrote about in that book, I no longer, like there's, it needed a little bit of refining. Like whole grains were huge in that book, but not fermenting them or souring them in any way like Weston Price would recommend for a traditional type of diet. But the basics were there. What it taught me
which was a great place to start, was just cook from scratch. It doesn't even have to be, you know, avoid this thing, avoid that. It was just use honey, use oats, use wheat, use
what
meat.
God gave us.
Yeah, just regular whole things, the ingredients, not the meals, you know, all separated out in ingredients. And so even though now it's like, okay, well, maybe less honey, maybe soak and ferment the grains, maybe add in some fermented foods, just the basic of make real food was what I learned from that book back whenever, you know, I was not even a mom yet. And that is what I built off of. But then, yeah, I started getting into nourishing traditions type stuff after that. And that opened a lot of doors.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, I had to, I don't know about you, but I did not grow up. I grew up in a one parent household and I did not know how to cook when I got married. I mean, I knew how to cook kind of, but like not really. And so everything I learned, I had to teach myself. And, I think we live in a convenience culture where you just want to throw something in the oven or drive through the drive-thru. And, but at what cost, you know, what is this costing our health and our children's health? And when we just like cut it down to the basics, like I think we overcomplicate cooking our own meals. We really do. Like a lot of times dinner for us looks like some sauteed ground beef, some roasted broccoli and rice. Like mm-hmm. That's not hard.
No.
You know, anybody can do that. We don't have to be making these like extravagant meals. Like those are nice, but I'm not like making these extravagant meals every single night. And so I had to learn everything. My website says back to God's design for health is kind of like our tagline.
Yeah.
And so everything in life, it's like, okay, well, how did the Lord design us to consume this? So like with milk, like how did God design milk, you know, cow to come from a cow? If we're talking about cow's milk, like he didn't design milk to be like pasteurized and homogenized and taking out all of these necessary nutrients and beneficial nutrients. But we as a culture, as a society, have come to that point because of the practices that we have and because of, you know, I mean, you know why,
yeah.
Why conventional milk is done the way it's done. But yeah, and even just like our society's view of like fat, you know, like not drinking whole milk. You know, I grew up in that kind of like skim
yes.
milk is the best culture, but it's not.
Yep, turns
and so
out.
It's kind of like a an unlearning of a lot of things that were kind of like ingrained in me. And you know, our parents just thought that they were doing the best, and a lot of the things that I do now were especially an unlearning process for me outside of food, but just in the whole natural living realm, because I, by practice, am a nurse. And so I graduated nursing school and was kind of like in that arena and that mindset. And so I really had to unlearn a lot of things mm-hmm. over the last decade, that I thought were kind of like good. So,
right. Yeah. And I'm sure you get a lot of pushback. Do you get pushback from your family or mostly just, I don't know, I'm thinking about like, stuff I put out stuff like this and then I get all of these things about raw milk and all the time I'm like, you need to read into the statistics on this. But what do you do about, I don't know, a lot of people ask me, what do you do about the pushback from your family and your friends? And mostly at this point I think I've been weird long enough that I don't get it anymore.
Yeah, I don't really care. I don't really get pushback from my family. I think that my family thinks that we're weird in some ways. Like my family doesn't really do the same things that we do. But they don't, they like, you know, accept us for what we do. And they, I try and like, you know, tell, like give them the why behind what we do and they maybe understand it, maybe not, but I don't really care. And especially with like strangers on the internet, like I'm not going to take criticism. I love this. I don't even remember where I heard this, but it was recently. I'm not going to take criticism from somebody I wouldn't take advice from. And like, that was just like,
yeah, that's
for
a good
me
idea.
Because
yeah.
It's like, it's so true.
Right.
Like if you're not going to go to that person for advice, then don't accept criticism from them. So I don't really let the, you know, of course we get like DMs and stuff that are hateful, but you just kind of let it roll off your back and it is what it is. We know why we do the things that we do. So
yeah. And I think a lot of times too, unless they're going to be willing to read several of the resources that you provide, it's difficult to explain why something is actually so much. But a lot of times the proof's in the pudding. Have you guys experienced? You said your husband was going through a major medical challenge. How have you been able to transform that situation?
Sick. I can't even put it into words how sick he was. He could barely hold Sayla when she was a newborn. He got an upper respiratory infection, and he went on 2 rounds of antibiotics for that. And then kind of in the same couple months had an auto accident. And so that kind of triggered his autoimmunity. And then he got injured by the Tdap after Sayla was born. And so it was kind of like those three things back to back. That was just like assaulting on his body. And he was so sick. He could barely function. But autoimmune is kind of like a roller coaster. And so he would have some good months, and then he would flare, and then it would be some bad months. But now he has never had to take thyroid medication. He's been diagnosed with Hashimoto's and early onset MS. And he's completely reversed all of those markers through mainly diet, elimination of stress, and detoxification through sauna is a big thing for him, and like exercise and stuff like that. But if he feels like he's going to flare, we can really control it. We have things that we know to do. We pull back and we get more strict with his diet, and he gets better sleep. And so we have like kind of a protocol in place that we do. But it was years. It really, really did take years. And that's the thing. People just want like an easy fix with stuff like that. And that's what the mainstream medical system will do, is they'll say, oh, you have high blood pressure. Here's a medication that you can take for that. Maybe that medication will help you short term or long term, but, we have to really get to the root of why, and so root cause healing instead of just covering the symptoms. And if Noah would have gone on thyroid medication, he would still be on that, and he would be on that for the rest of his life. But through the modifications that we've done, he's been able to be medication free and live his life like he is thriving. Mm-hmm. So it's really incredible.
Yeah, I've seen this. A couple of examples come to mind really quickly, but in people in my personal life that have had a certain trajectory that they were put on, they were told to take this medicine, do this thing, and they ended up going in a different direction, seeking out natural doctors and diets. And I've watched as the symptoms completely reverse and they're no longer reliant on something for the rest of their lives. Actually, a close friend of mine, her son was nonverbal. He couldn't walk completely, getting worse and worse and worse. She was taken to so many specialists, given so many, he had surgeries, he had medication. She went to this certain natural doctor in our area that my sister also took her son to, and she got him on a certain diet, and he now is completely going in the opposite direction of the downward that he was going before. And then my sister also, her son had a dairy allergy. She had him on GAP, or I guess really it'd be a dairy intolerance. I don't know if it was considered an allergy or an intolerance, but it was a very high marker. And he had all kinds of symptoms that were really bothering her because they were an obvious sign of what was happening in his body. And she did the GAPS diet for 2 years with him, and he has no markers. He can eat anything he wants. He's completely fine. And so, yeah, I guess once you've seen this a couple of times in your own life, several examples, it does make you want to dig deeper and research further and keep learning and keep, going down this path of learning natural things.
And it's amazing how much of our immunity is in our gut. Like the GAPS diet, it's designed to heal the gut. Noah was on that as well for a certain time. And he had like his leaky gut was out of control. And when you give the gut time to heal, then you can reintroduce these foods and your body doesn't react in the same way because those food proteins aren't leaking out into your body where they're not supposed to be. And so that's why another thing I'm super passionate about is baby food, and properly introducing solids to our babies. You know, rice pudding or rice cereal at 4 months old is such an outdated practice. Please don't give your baby rice cereal at 4 months old. Their digestive systems are not ready for solids until usually around 6 months, sometimes much later. So I have like a whole series. I did a whole series on baby food on my Instagram. And you know, things like that, it sounds dramatic, but like that can really set your baby up for life, like for a healthier, having a healthy gut from the beginning. And even just like, when they're first born, you know, like not pumping them with certain like antibiotics or like unnecessary procedures and things like that.
So what about in the kitchen? Where would you, what was your first, you talked a little bit about baby food, and which, by the way, do they still recommend rice cereal at 4 months? Is that still a thing? They did when my oldest was a baby, but I don't check in much with the others.
Enough people say that they do. Their pediatrician was like, yeah, just give him some rice cereal. Like,
okay. Cause I did that with my firstborn and that's it. After that, I learned. And so I never did it again after that. But what about for people who want to start, we already talked about just getting real natural ingredients and starting there and cooking simple meals. Like you said, just meat and vegetables. It's not, doesn't have to be something fancy. It doesn't have to be a recipe. What about things like fermenting foods? Have you explored into that in your kitchen?
Yeah, we do, I could honestly do a lot more fermenting, but we have sauerkraut on a daily basis. Sauerkraut is super easy.
I always tell people just start with sauerkraut. You don't even have to go beyond that. Don't even, it's fine. Don't even ever go beyond it.
Yeah. It's so easy. You really can't mess it up. No. And so we always have sauerkraut and we put it on salads every day. We pair it with certain foods. It's really good on cod. I don't know if you've ever had sauerkraut on cod.
I haven't. But, we never make cod, but I should try that.
Oh, it's so good. And we did sourdough. And we did kombucha for a little while, but we cut that just because of the, it was a lot of sugar and like I wasn't drinking a ton of it. And so we didn't see the need to like have it all the time.
Yeah.
So we do some fermenting.
Yeah. For me, I always tell people sauerkraut and kefir. If you're totally overwhelmed, you do not know where to start, just start with those two because you can get probiotics all day long and those two will be
really simple. It's seriously cabbage and salt. And then as far as kefir goes, it's kefir grains and milk. Strain it off. It's the easiest thing ever.
Or even just like making your own yogurt at home is like super easy. That was one of the first things I learned how to do. If you don't have an Instant Pot, like I highly recommend getting one or two of those.
You definitely need an Instant Pot is bone broth and yogurt.
Yeah. Bone broth and yogurt. Because it's so easy. It's so easy to make yogurt and you get so much of it and it's so cheap to make your own yogurt.
Yeah, it is. I find that it's a few more steps than kefir, which is why I make kefir more often than yogurt because, you know, you have to keep the, it's really not hard once you have the Instant Pot, but you have to keep the yogurt at a certain temperature. The kefir is seriously just put milk on kefir grains. That's, you know, that's all it is. And so to me,
I'm going to have to try that. I've never tried to make kefir before, but you're inspiring me.
It's just so it's easier than yogurt. That's the thing. It's mostly, it's not that I'm like, oh, you know, I'm kefir so much better than yogurt.
It's just that it's actually easier. So
where do you get your kefir grains?
Well, I bought them like 11, 12 years ago and they multiply. So I've never rebought them. I can mail you some. Just send me your address and I'll mail you some. I occasionally, will mail them out or I'll just compost them. I used to sell them years ago on Etsy and then it became more of a hassle than what it was worth. But it's super easy. So what are you learning now? Are there things you're exploring into now that you're trying to either learn in the kitchen or just research for health? What's currently on your radar?
Kefir. No, I'm just kidding.
Now kefir.
2022 is going to be my year for sourdough.
Okay.
We've made sourdough in the past, and I've been making sourdough, like I've had a sourdough starter and have made sourdough bread for years. But I think the grains that we use, they're a little bit more dense. And so I've never been able to perfect that like fluffy, like true sourdough. Mm-hmm. And I've never really done it with like the proper tools. So I ordered everything. I've got my lame, I've got my proofing baskets, I've got my Dutch oven. So I'm going to learn how to do sourdough properly in 2022.
Okay.
It's actually funny. My friend is going to come and help me, and she uses the sourdough starter that I gave her
Okay.
3 years ago.
Nice.
So kind of full circle.
Yeah.
Because we would make sourdough bread, we would make it, and it was fine. It tasted fine, but it was more like loaf bread. It wasn't really like
Yeah.
the true sourdough,
Right.
like airy, light. So sourdough is one thing that I really want to learn to perfect. And then I really want to get more into, so we're having, we just moved onto a different, homestead, and we had a sauna at our old one that we had built. We did like a traditional Swedish sauna and with like cedar wood, and it was beautiful.
Oh, cool.
So, but it was built into, a like cement, platform or whatever. So we couldn't bring
take it.
With
it
us.
Yeah.
So we're having another one built here because like I said, saunaing is a huge part of my husband's detoxing process. And so now that I am not pregnant and not in like the new
right.
stages of breastfeeding, I really want to get into like a regular sauna routine.
Okay.
Because when we were at the other property, I was like pregnant for the most part, or like had newborn twins, and I was just
right.
Like,
yeah.
Even to get like 10 minutes away,
yeah.
it was like impossible. So
yeah,
I'm really excited to get into like a regular sauna routine and cold therapy. Like go straight from sauna to a cold shower. If you
okay.
research the benefits of cold therapy, it's pretty incredible. So
I've only ever read about it on Wellness Mama, but I've never tried it.
Okay. It's really hard. And
I'm sure I it sounds simply dreadful. I'm sorry. My husband does it in a way. He does that where he'll go and get in a completely all the way cold shower. And I won't even do lukewarm. So
yeah, no, that's what I'm talking. I don't do like the cold plunges yet. I don't have somewhere where I could do cold plunges, which I know people that do. And that has a lot of good benefits too. But yeah, I just do a cold shower after a sauna, and it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. I don't think I can take it.
Yeah.
So sauna, building the sauna, sourdough bread, light and fluffy. Are you talking about like the Instagram loaves that have the design in them?
Yeah.
And yeah, all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, so we use emmer berries.
Okay.
And we use more like traditional grains
right.
as opposed to like the all-purpose
mm-hmm.
organic
yeah.
flour. And I think that's been our problem, but my husband handles the traditional grains a little bit
yeah.
better. And so that's why we've always done that and haven't really
yeah.
felt a need to change it.
I mean, you
it,
can make but, delicious and beautiful loaves. I do think they'll have a different quality to them, but they're still so good. I need to get back into
yeah.
that, because I've been trying to make the light and fluffy breads, but I also want to make, you know, einkorn breads and perfect those a little bit
einkorn,
more and whole
yeah.
grain. Yeah.
That's the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. But they definitely don't do the same things. They don't stretch. You can't really stretch and fold them. It's a whole different experience, honestly.
For a long time, I thought it was me. I was like, what am I doing?
No.
Like, what am I doing wrong? But yeah, I do think it was just the flour.
It's that. And it even helps to add in the bread flour, which is even more gluten and worse for you. But that is what will give it that big stretch and the big holes and all of that. So
okay.
Yeah, I need to work on it too, but I'm really not sure if it's something you actually can achieve or not, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good bread, but not necessarily, you know, the big airy holes. So I get that
yeah.
question all the time. That is something we want there to be, you know, it's extremely healthy and also light, fluffy. I don't know if it's a thing. I'll let everybody know if it is though. Oh, one other thing I wanted to ask you was, what do you keep on hand? So you're really into essential oils. I saw that you recently got founder for doTERRA, which is super exciting. So I'm sure that you have a pretty nice little stash of essential oils. What wouldn't you go without?
Oh my goodness.
Just narrow it down to like five. That's going to be hard. Maybe 10. Oh.
Okay. So, I mean, are essential oils like one thing? Essential oils would be one. Yeah. It's literally something I use every single day. Yeah. And I have for like 8 years. I only recently started doing doTERRA like 2 years ago, but I've been using essential oils for like 8 years. And so they are like an everyday part of our wellness tool box. I think doing like elderberry syrup is a huge thing in our house. We don't do elderberry syrup every single day, but in times of illness, it's a really big part of our routine. What do I always keep on hand? There's honestly, I don't really give my kids a bunch of stuff every single day. I think we just focus mainly on like getting things through our diet. But this isn't really something I keep on hand, but I would say is a big part of our routine is trying to get into the sun. The sun is our friend. And, so I guess, just getting that vitamin D, that natural vitamin D, on a daily basis is huge for us.
How cold does it get down there in Texas? Are you guys cold?
It was like 22. It was like 22 this morning.
I didn't realize it got that cold. Okay.
It does. We were in the 70s like 2 days ago. And it gets a little bit warmer the rest of the week. That was definitely a cold dip for us, but we get pretty chilly in the winter, but we still usually have sun. It's not like, I mean, we used to live in Missouri, very close to where you are. And, it was not like, we called it misery because it's just like gray and misty. And I'm just like, I need the sun.
Yeah, that's true.
So, it's a little bit easier for us down here in Texas, but that's why we live here.
Right.
And we love it. We love it so much. I think having natural beauty products, mm-hmm. like things, that's one thing that people don't really think about. The things that we're putting on our skin, the lotions that we're using, the deodorants that we're using, that we're putting like on very sensitive parts of our body. Mm-hmm. We really want to be reading those ingredient labels. And, if we can't recognize some of that stuff, we need to like, be like, okay, well, what are these things? Because usually they're synthetic chemicals that are designed, created to alter or to mimic something that's already in creation that's already been given to us.
Yeah.
So, usually there's a more natural alternative to that. Earthly is a company that I really, really love, mm-hmm. For like natural beauty and supplement products. Like they have a really good lotion that's super clean. Like you can understand all of the ingredients, that are in their products. So a lot of the stuff that I give my kids, is Earthly. There's one thing that I would not ever live without is called Good Night Lotion. Okay. It's a magnesium rub. Oh. And so like my kids, if they're having like growing pains, I will rub that on their calves. Or if there's a night where I just want them to get like really good solid sleep, I'll rub that into their bellies.
I need to get this. Is it from Earthly?
It's from Earthly. Okay. It's called Good Night Lotion. So it's like magnesium flakes with some carrier oil. When I was pregnant, it was huge for my like pregnancy, like Charlie horses. So that's a product that I don't think I could live without. There's, and I'm sure I'm like forgetting about.
What about with essential oil?
Olive oil.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Olive, yeah. That's always a good, do you use it for carrier oil?
I usually use fractionated coconut oil for my carrier oil for oils, but I'm talking about food. Like we use so much butter and olive oil.
So much fat. I know. I was just
so much fat.
I shared a post the other day on rendering lard in my kitchen because from a local. Yeah. Well, actually wasn't bad. I only got. Well,
really?
Not really. I mean, maybe I didn't read all my DMs. But I did get one DM from a nurse who said, as a nurse, this looks like a heart attack waiting to happen. I'm like, uh-oh, outdated science, lady. You have not been reading up on your current science.
We had some bacon fat on our counter the other day, and my daughter comes up and she was like, "Ooh, mommy, can I have some of that ice cream?" And I'm like, "That's not ice cream.
Yeah.
you don't want to dip your finger into that and try it, because we always have our butter dish like out on the counter, right, so it's like room temperature. Yeah. That is like a tip. Maybe people don't know this. If you are using butter in the refrigerator, like put that thing on a Pyrex and stick it on your counter, and it makes cooking, like slathering pans and cooking with it, so much easier.
And fat doesn't mold. It doesn't go bad as long as it's fully fat. So because people wonder that too. And we're just so far removed, I think, from old ways. Everybody used to leave their butter out. That was what we did. But now we don't, you know, we're far removed from the process of butter and knowing that fat preserves things. It doesn't go bad. And
and even just like God's design, again, back to that, like our eggs that we get from our chickens, we leave those out on the counter and we don't put those in the refrigerator, but it's because the way that they're designed, they have a self-preserving quality until you wash that bloom off in the sink. Then you have to put them in the refrigerator because that coating is gone. So yeah, it's just super interesting.
Yeah, it is. They're naturally preserved. Yeah, I really weird people out too when I put raw egg yolks in my mayo. Every time I share that, people are...
I just shared that the other day. You can eat raw eggs?
Yes. Yes, you can. Yeah. Totally fine. Totally good for you.
Homemade mayo is so easy. And it is. That's like another thing. It's easy to make, but it saves you so much money because like clean mayonnaise is
paleo mayo or whatever.
$6. Yes. It's like at least $6 a thing, and it's still got like preservatives and stuff in it. So
it's easy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I think the point is start slow. Maybe this year for 2022, make a list of the things that you would like to work on. Add a couple of things, one or two things to each month. Take it slow. The best thing you can do if you are like, okay, fermenting, essential oils, all of these things, just start by changing your food to real food. That is not a hard swap to make, honestly, because you can make everything just using the ingredients and not the prepackaged stuff.
Yeah. And even if it's something where you can't afford to buy organic, getting non-organic produce and eating produce is better than getting prepackaged Frankenfood is what I like to call it. It's still better than the prepackaged stuff that's got a bunch of preservatives and chemicals. And I found out the hard way that I was allergic to MSG, which is in everything. Just take it one thing at a time. Like make your own bone broth. That's super easy. Just throw it in there, put some water in it.
Yeah, it's really once you get used to a lot of these things, it just is as easy as throwing a pizza in the oven, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But it seems overwhelming at first.
It does. I completely understand that.
But people will hear that and they're like, no.
It's not. Well, that's the reason why I wanted to have you on, is encouraging people from the perspective of somebody who's already been on this whole journey for 10 years. It's not like this was something you just started working on yesterday. When you first had your child, I'm sure you did all kinds of things that now you're like, what was I doing? I have definitely a whole long list of things. And then each year I learn a little bit more. Like we were talking about the Instagram sourdough breads. I just, in the last 2 years, learned how to do that. I'd been, just like you, baking sourdough forever. And I wanted to have a little pretty loaf with a design in it. I never knew how to do that. I just kept it really basic. And so just learning a bit each year has made it to where you are now able to, with confidence, do a lot of things that before you couldn't. Like we could go on and on for way too long. We need to wrap it up here. But the confidence that you have now when your child wakes up in the middle of the night with a certain something to grab a certain oil and go over and feel like you don't need to, you know, consult Dr. Google and rush off to the ER. You have that confidence now to know, when is this serious? What can I use? It really does evolve over time.
It truly does. And people always tell me like, well, it's easy for you because you are a nurse. And I don't think that that's true, because everything that I've learned in my motherhood has not been something that I learned in nursing school.
Yeah.
Maybe certain instincts and more so along the emergency line. But like everything I've learned has been on my own and with my own experience. And I had an instance where somebody, a close friend of mine hit a deer on their way to my house the other day, and she was like asking for ibuprofen. I don't have ibuprofen in my house. We don't have ibuprofen. We don't have Tylenol. I gave maybe Sayla was the last baby that I gave ibuprofen to. And so.
Is that your first?
We didn't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gave my friend, it's leafy. It's turmeric and ginger. It's like a little tonic. And I gave her some turmeric pills, and, she said it helped, and some arnica. That's another thing. Homeopathy. I didn't even mention that. Oh my goodness.
I know. Like I said, we could go into birth. We could really go into birth. We could go into that.
Yes, we could.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So I had all that on hand, and I was like, here, take this, like, you know, and it helped. And so it's just about having the tools in your toolbox before you need them. So you're not scrambling and then running to Walmart in the middle of the night and, you know, there's limited choices there.
We didn't get into essential oils really specifically, but I think we could talk for at least 4 more hours on all of these topics. So I'm going to send everyone over to your Instagram. They can check out your highlights whenever they wonder, what do you do about this? What do you do about this? A great place to get someone going on their natural living journey is following along with people like you who have compiled all of these resources. So you can find Elizabeth over at Purely Parsons on Instagram. So much good information there. And also obviously check out her birth story on Happy Home Birth Podcast, because that's a good one. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for joining me. And I hope you can have a good evening and get back to your kiddos. I hope they're all sleeping for you.
They are. Thanks for having me, Lisa.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life Podcast. Be sure to go over and check out Elizabeth over on Instagram. All of her story highlights for all those common ailments that you might be asking, where do I even go for this? I know nothing about this, but I want to learn and dive in. Her page is a really good resource to get started. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life Podcast.